I wanted us to do something different in tonight's Tech Impact segment, especially because we are in the Visiothon season. I wanted us to talk about the different ways in which technology is now allowing us to be able to move money around. And I think for me, more specifically, I love how I'm seeing more senior people wanting to participate in this way and in this method of moving money around, right? Or in these new ways, these technologies that allow us to move money easily. So for example, if you're sitting in a restaurant and you've had your meal and now it's time for you to do a payment, there are some restaurants that will make it so easy for you to do your payment that you can just scan with your, use your phone to scan a barcode on your receipt, and you can simply just punch in, or it'll automatically display the amount that you owe to the restaurant and send it to them. And I'm interested in how this type of technology impacts us as civilians, as individuals, and for those of us who are not afraid to use such technologies and who understand that they continuously improve over time. So for me personally, I love being at the forefront. I'm not an early bird. I'm not an early adopter, of course, but I am a person who, after some time of seeing some reviews online, how people are using these technologies, I definitely want to be one of the first few to jump in. I remember how scared I was the first time I had to tap my phone at a till in order to make a payment, and I wasn't using my bank card. I literally was so nervous. I thought to myself, what if I do it and it doesn't work? Is my phone really capable of doing such? And after I did it the first time, I never looked back. Following that, I ended up owning a fitness watch by Fitbit, which had a NFC technology within it. So it allowed you to be able to make payments just by tapping the watch at the till, at a restaurant, on a point of sale device like a Yoko or whatever it may be. And quite honestly speaking, I can say that literally changed my life. It literally made me think differently as to whether or not I'm carrying my bank card or not. And also in terms of safety, right? Because there was a time where many of us used to stand in front of a till and have to consciously think of what it means to for me to leave my house and go stand at a till and pull out a huge amount of money, money that is significantly huge for you, even if it's 100 rand or 50 rand. It's a lot of money to you as an individual. So nowadays, you don't even have to do that. I saw Woolworths announced not so long ago that now they're no longer going to be accepting cash. And that really made me think. I'm not particularly happy to hear this being announced, if I'm honest. I'm definitely not necessarily happy about it. But it did get me thinking about where finance or technology that is related to the way that we move our money around, like where is it going, and how many of us are going to be forced to just jump on board. And I don't like that part of it, right? I don't like the fact that it will be forced to participate in going cashless. Because just this morning, speaking now, like just this morning, I woke up and I wanted to buy some Vetkoek. And the thing about good Vetkoek, anyone will tell you who actually enjoys like real greasy junk food Vetkoek, is that if you want good Vetkoek, sometimes you just have to go out on the streets and look for that lady at the corner and support her business, you know, buy from her. And that's the thing about it, right? It made me think about whether we are now, these stores that are premium like your Woolworths, are they considering that if they're encouraging the middle class person to not carry money around, that means that that person is not going to be able to support the street vendor who doesn't carry a Yoko machine or whatever the case may be, who probably can't even afford to buy a Yoko machine, doesn't know what it is or even how to use that technology. We're forcing those people to now move. But then at the same time, and now I'm just talking about the effects and implications of this technology. If I think about it, in China, the average street vendor uses their phone as a payment system. Right? They have those technologies and it's normal. It's actually weird if you're not that kind of street vendor. And now it actually makes me wonder that do we think that we as Africans cannot move and become that advanced where each and every one of us have the safety of not having to carry cash around? Because there's also the question of that street vendor that I bought from and gave cash to now has to carry that cash back home. And how far is home from where they're conducting their business? There's a lot to think about, right? But I think all in all, I love the fact that we're having more options to be able to. I mean, even with Visiothon, you can go onto our website and just find the scan and then be able to donate just using your phone and scanning that QR code. And that's incredible technology. And the fact that you can do this via an SMS or do it via WhatsApp and just do it that easily and receive a link or receive the bank details and do it from the comfort of your own home, it takes away that fear or that discomfort. And of course, if you want to give and you want to send your money, just send SMS the word give to 37871, or you can send a WhatsApp. WhatsApp the word give to 0826572729. And of course, you would be supporting the being a truth seeker, being a spreader of truth, and making sure that the world has access to truth.
This evening in Tech Impact, I need to discuss something that has really crept up to me, and I thought it's worthwhile, since it's tech, that we need to consider these things. Right. So it's an interesting conversation, because what we do nowadays is most of the stuff that we need to have on our phones is subscription based, right? We saw the Apple court case now that they take 27% of the profit, which they hoped to be had thrown out, but it wasn't thrown out. But then we get all these items, like, so when you're on an Apple phone, and I know I'm not sure about Google, so I can't answer, but when you're on an Apple phone, you need to store the photos and the everything off-site, which means you've got an iCloud, is what Apple calls it, iCloud account. So then you can store your photos and messages and stuff, not necessarily on your phone, but on the server, which is like Dropbox, but it's Apple's own one, iCloud. Now you need to pay for that subscription because all the photos you have is taking time. It's taking lots of space. Say, for instance, now you're paying $50 for the iCloud service. However, you're also on your phone, you're looking to have music and you want to listen to music and you don't want to get the Spotify free edition because you don't want the ads and you want to shuffle and stuff like that. So add that. Now all of a sudden you're looking at $60 for the subscription. Okay, so now you've got YouTube. You've got YouTube Premium as well because you want YouTube Premium because you don't want to suffer through ads and you want to create playlists and stuff like that. What's the price of YouTube Premium? It's about 100, I can't remember, I think I'm paying 170 Rand. I also love listening to audiobooks. So what do I do if I want to listen to audiobooks? I get an Audible subscription because how else are you going to get audiobooks somewhere, seeing as nobody can find it? Then, because of the fact that I can only listen to audiobooks while driving and not necessarily while I'm in my bed or while I'm sleeping or whatever the case might be, I need to be able to read books. But books are very expensive, so let's rather just subscribe to Kindle. Get a Kindle subscription, right? Now, the fact that I've got a Kindle subscription enables me to read books. I can listen to books on Audible. I can listen to music on Apple Music, and I can save my photos off-site with iCloud. But then, unfortunately, in between all these forms of entertainment, sometimes I want to watch a documentary. Documentaries pertaining or documentaries with true crime and stuff like that is usually found on Netflix, meaning I need a Netflix subscription. So let's get a Netflix subscription. I mean, I'm going to use it very often. Then the second thing that happens is I realize, man, I love Netflix because I watch the true crime documentaries and I love the series that's on there. However, the movies that I want to watch is no longer on Netflix. I need to find the movies. Then I realized, ha-ha, Disney has got the movies I want. So what's the option then? Or the solution rather? Get a Disney subscription. And this is where I want to end my conversation. Or this is the actual route that I want to take with you having this conversation. Sit, draw up a budget, and see how much you are paying. Because I realize what we are doing is we see, no man, Netflix is cheap, it's $160. No man, Disney is cheap, it's only $180. No man, Prime is cheap, it's $70. Have you ever made the calculation how much you're paying? Those three subscriptions that I mentioned now adds up to $400 if you've got all of them. Add that to YouTube, you're looking at close to $600 a month that you are spending. Then it does not include my Audible. So I've had Audible. So I've got all these subscriptions that I've just mentioned. I realized I love Audible. I want Audible. Now add $300 to the subscriptions that we have. You're looking at close to R1,000 that you're spending monthly on streaming or some or other subscription. That does not include my data that I need to access these subscriptions. That does not include my cell phone contract in which I need to have a cell phone to access these subscriptions. So what am I trying to say here in this tech impact? Check the impact that these tech have on your budgets. Because sometimes we think it's not a lot, but it adds up and it can be a stupendous amount.